You know, when you prayed for me, you said that even in the middle of the storm, He's going to take care of us. And we are. The whole world is in the middle of a storm. I mean, chaos and lawlessness has descended upon this earth. And I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual warfare, but spiritual warfare on a global basis. I mean, we're supposed to see the kingdom of God come into the world, right? But instead, we're seeing the kingdom of darkness manifested. And it's being blatantly displayed in lawlessness, violence, anarchy, disease. This is a spiritual battle because we are spiritual beings. The French philosopher Pierre de Cardin said this. He said, "We are not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience." Turn to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Most of you could probably quote this exactly to me, but I want to read it. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against demonic forces." And you see the chaos and you see the violence in this physical world, but our battle is a spiritual battle with forces of wickedness in high places. I have never seen a time in my life when spiritual warfare was so blatant or so dangerous. It is not just obvious, it is dangerous for we Christians and for really everybody else in the whole world. Now, I think we're seeing such a dangerous spiritual warfare time for two primary reasons. The first one is that we're coming close to the end of this world as we know it. Jesus is coming back, praise the Lord. And we know that before He comes back, the enemy is going to be released on this earth like never before. And I think that's happening now. But there's a second thing going on here. And I think that the church has let down our guard. We've gone to sleep. The Christians have allowed this. We're too busy enjoying the good life. We don't have time to be bothered with prayer closet time, you know, to partner with God to bring His will onto this earth. We don't want to get our hands dirty with spiritual warfare against demonic beings. Where we go from here is going to be up to you and me. If we Christians stay asleep, the world is going to be plunged into chaos and turmoil. If we wake up and we start fighting the battle of spiritual warfare, then maybe, just maybe, there'll be a time of peace to hold back the darkness for a little while longer. But if the church stays asleep and we sit out this battle, you're going to see suffering and misery like you've never seen it before, and this will affect the whole world. There'll not be a country that you could go to get away from it. So in a few minutes, I want to share with you what I think the Lord has told me that we need to do about this. But first of all, I want to explain what I mean when I say the world is in turmoil and suffering. I say there's chaos going on, there's sickness, there's violence. What am I talking about? Well, first of all, there's kind of the standard wars and military conflicts. Did you know right now there are 10 official wars and 8 official military conflicts going on around the world? And beside that, there are 64 countries and 576 militia or rebel groups fighting one another. I mean, that may not sound bad to us in our air-conditioned living rooms, but you know what? If you're trying to survive in the middle of one of those conflicts, man, you're probably living in fear for your life. But the second thing that is filling the world with turmoil and disease, of course, is the COVID-19 pandemic. Not only have hundreds of thousands of people died from coronavirus, I mean, the whole world has just shut down because of fear. I mean, many are even afraid to go outside their homes. During the shutdowns, there are people that just can't pay their bills. They can't make their financial obligations. Do you know the suicide rate is up 5%. Did you know that domestic violence is up? Did you know that there are people with heart problems and cancer that are dying of those diseases because they were not able to get treatment during the COVID pandemic? There are people that are suffering even from injuries, physical injuries. They can't go to the gym for physical therapy, so they're just suffering in pain at home or taking painkillers. The futures of a lot of college athletes just evaporated this year as college football programs and college sports programs all over the country got canceled. Children are being stunted in their education because schools are closed. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a big proponent of homeschool, okay? And I see public schools, in many cases, they're more about indoctrinating the children than they are about educating the children. But I also see education as being really important. And during the shutdown, what's being promoted as remote learning is for a lot of children no learning at all. Did you know that the Charlotte school system here announced the other day they're going to go to remote learning for this semester? When they made that announcement, they said that last semester they went to remote learning during the pandemic, and there were thousands of children that never once logged on for remote learning. Not hundreds, thousands of children. That means for them, there's no school at all. And you know what? Especially for low-income, disadvantaged children, getting a good education, that may be their only hope of getting out of the ghetto. And it's being shut down. Let me tell you what I think happened with coronavirus. The virus hit the world, and the whole world shut down for fear. And about that time, Christians started praying against the virus, and the infection rate started going down. And then we Christians became complacent, and we quit praying against the virus, and the infections began to go back up. And what I think Christians have finally awakened again, because I see that the infection rate is going down, the hospitalizations is way down, the number of deaths is way down, and even the severity, the people that are getting sick, they're not getting as sick as they were. Why? Because we Christians engaged again. We started praying against this virus. I mean, we're going to get through this panic, this coronavirus panic. But we'd better keep our guard up, because when the coronavirus lockdown started, I heard the Lord say that this is just the first of many worldwide threats, and that the next threat will set the stage for political leaders to take away our freedoms, especially our religious freedoms, even more than they did with coronavirus. And then the third thing that's going on that tells me the world's kind of going crazy is all the rioting and looting and lawlessness and chaos in the streets in major cities. I'm not talking about peaceful demonstrations or peaceful protests. I'm talking about the people using those protests as an excuse for lawlessness. I'm talking about a demonic agenda driven by the spirit of Antichrist, okay? Some of you may not know about all the rioting and lawlessness going on today, but Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Austin, Atlanta, New York, Minneapolis, these are just a few of the cities that night after night see riots, looting, fires being started, police being attacked and injured, people are being dragged out of their cars and beaten by the rioters. The mob threw a bucket of paint on a 70-something-year-old grandma the other night. And in many places, this is going on for night after night after night. The murder rates are up. They're double or triple what they were, in double or triple digits more than what they were a year ago this time. Matter of fact, in Portland, last night they had the 90th straight night of rioting and violence and burning and throwing fireworks at the police and bottles and rocks and things like that. A friend of ours from Austin, we were talking to her earlier this week. She said she tried to go to church the other day. She couldn't because the main highway had been blocked off by rioters. the rioting, the looting, the arson in the major cities. This is not a few disgruntled local residents who are demonstrating for change. This is an organized group of Marxists and anarchists who want to destroy our nation, and these kinds of riots are happening in other cities around the world too. Demonic forces are at work, bringing fear and chaos, and they're trying to tear down any semblance of law and order that represents God in the spirit. And so you certainly can't obey the law, because that would mean you're obeying God. I mean, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So in the middle of all this chaos, this violence, turmoil, what's the Lord calling us to do? What should we do about this? I mean, should we go find a war to fight? Well, I don't think so. Should we tell everybody to stay home and stay under their beds so they don't get coronavirus? Well, probably not. Should we put our hoodies on and should we physically stand up against the looters and the rioters? Well, that might not be very safe based on what I've seen on several recent videos. So what can we do? Do we just watch the news and wring our hands and worry and not be able to sleep at night? Do we quit watching the news and just pretend that everything is okay? You know, and just, we just pretend that all this turmoil and violence is just going to magically go away? Well, no to all the above. We are the church of Jesus, the Messiah, the King of the universe. We are the very body of Christ who has been given authority and power and grace over all entities, over all other authorities and demonic authorities. We are a royal priesthood that's been entrusted with the stewardship of this world. We are the only thing that stands between the kingdom of God and the chaos and the turmoil of the kingdom of darkness. The Lord woke me up the other night, a few nights ago, and showed me the incredible significance of the spiritual warfare that's going on right now in this world. And he scolded me for being asleep at the wheel and not standing up against this in the spirit. He asked me, why is the church allowing this to happen? Wow. Why are we allowing this to happen? He showed me four things. Now, I'm sure there are a dozen things that could be done, but these are the four things that he showed me that we should be doing. He warned me that if we Christians don't stand up and wholeheartedly enter into this spiritual warfare, then we're doomed to suffer along with the rest of the world. We're going to suffer in sickness, violence, lawlessness, chaos, anarchy, darkness. These are the four things he told me to do. He said, first of all, we need to intercede against the COVID-19 virus. The second thing is we need to intercede against the lawlessness and destruction that's going on around the world. Third thing is we need to raise our children to fight this battle with us and to carry on the fight after us. And the fourth thing is we need to praise and worship God in spirit and in truth. And today I want to cover the first and the fourth of those items. And then we'll come back next time and we'll cover interceding for lawlessness and talk about raising our children despite to fight spiritual warfare with us. So let's talk about interceding against coronavirus, okay? Fear is being used to strip away our freedom and is being used to control our behaviors. Everywhere you look, people are selling fear. They're trying their best to get people whipped up into irrational fear. And we Christians don't have to be in fear. We need to pray in faith, believing God to do big things. I'm going to make some suggestions about how we pray against coronavirus. I'm going to tell you how I'm praying against coronavirus. And maybe you don't have to pray exactly the way I'm praying. You don't have to pray for hours every day. But I'm suggesting every day you need to pray against coronavirus. Turn to Matthew 21. We're going to look at three scriptures in Matthew real quick. The first two say similar things, starting in Matthew 21, verse 21. We need to speak to the mountain of coronavirus and command it to be removed from this earth. In Matthew 21:21, Jesus told his disciples, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen." Now turn back to Matthew 17 and verse 20. This is what we're going to do. We're going to speak to coronavirus, may pray a prayer of commandment. Jesus said, I truly say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Why should we think it's impossible for us to pray and rid the world of coronavirus? Of course it's not impossible. This is what God wants us to do. Turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 and verse 19. Jesus says, "Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven." That's our promise. When two of us, any two Christians, anywhere on the planet, agree about something, the Father's going to make sure that it happens. In the name of Jesus, I set my face against the coronavirus all over the world. I command every coronavirus cell to die. I command in Jesus' name for all coronavirus cells to fall out of the air, and that they'll lose their ability to infect people. And where people have been infected, they won't have much of an effect on their body, in Jesus' name. Turn to Isaiah 62. Isaiah chapter 62, and we're going to look at verse 7. Intercessors have a very special place in God's heart, and I think that intercessors are the key to the world turmoil and this great spiritual battle that's going on. In Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7, the prophet says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give Him no rest until He establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." The concept here is of intercessory prayer, giving God no rest. Father, we are going to hold you to your promises, and we're going to continue to do that until we see those promises fulfilled. Promises like, for instance, turn to Psalm 91. I hope you're writing these scriptures down so you can come back to them and look at them later. Psalm 91, verses 4 through 8. "He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence, the coronavirus that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked." Pestilence is going to come around us, but it's not going to affect us. Why? Because we're standing in intercessory prayer, holding God to His promise that this is not going to come near us. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over us as a hedge of protection. Protect our family, our church, the folks on the prayer line. And by the way, if you have faith to include this, extend that prayer to all Christians around the world. You know, Father, in the name of Jesus, I send your hedge of protection around all Christians all over the world, that this pestilence may come near us, but it will not touch any of us, in Jesus' name. Turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to look at verse 24. We don't need to read it. You know this verse. It says, "By the stripes of Jesus, we've been healed." Let's command healing to take place for those who have been infected based on this promise. In the name of Jesus, I command that those infected with this environment, with this virus, will have an accelerated healing. And they'll rise up from their sick beds, and there'll be no long-lasting effects. I command in Jesus' name that coronavirus will lose its virility and not be able to infect people so easily. Make sure, by the way, that when you're praying, that you spend some time praying in tongues against the coronavirus. Pray in the Spirit. When we're praying in the Spirit, we know that that's the Holy Spirit praying through us, and He's praying God's perfect will. Maximize the power of your prayers by praying in the Spirit. We all know that many times God works through doctors, and in this case through scientists in medicine. Turn to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. Paul tells Timothy, no longer drink water only, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Paul's telling Timothy, medicate yourself because of your stomach problems. Well, Father, I send the wisdom of the Holy Spirit into the medical community in Jesus' name. And I pray that you open the eyes and the ears of their hearts so they can hear your Holy Spirit telling them how to find vaccines to prevent the virus, and so that they can find therapeutics that will better treat those who are sick. You know, this coronavirus is being used by the enemy to strike fear in the hearts of everyone. The devil is hoping that he can bring irrational fear into the church. I was listening to a recording of a city council meeting in Charlotte the other day, and a health official came before the council to talk about the number of infections and what was being done. And it didn't take long. She began to break down and start crying. She started crying hysterically. What are we going to do? How are we going to stop? We're just not going to be able to stop this. People are going to die. People are going to die. She became hysterical. That's what the devil wants. He wants hysterical fear to seep into the church over coronavirus. Are we going to succumb to that? Are we going to exercise the authority that Jesus has given us? And are we going to rise up as a body and stand against this virus from hell? We Christians need to turn this around. We need to drive back the fear, and we need to usher in a great awakening of Christianity. I think that's what's awaiting us here if we'll just pray. So that's number one thing of the four the Lord gave me. The fourth thing was about praise and worshiping God, and about doing that without fear or anxiety. Now, this mandate from God to worship might seem out of place in spiritual warfare, but actually I think it's maybe one of the most important elements. We need to make sure that our prayer closet time is a sandwich. You know how you make a sandwich? You start with the bread on bottom. That's praise and worship. Then you put the lettuce and the meat in the middle. That's our prayers of intercession, our prayers of command. And then you put on that, the top, it goes another piece of bread. That's thanksgiving and praise. We're going to have a praise and thanksgiving sandwich that we use for prayer. We start off with praise and worship because that's how we invite the presence of God. Turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and verse 3. The psalmist says, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of His people. He literally makes His throne in the middle of our praises. When we praise and worship, we literally invite the presence of God to surround us where our praise and worship is. That's where God is going to be. Turn to 2 Chronicles 5. I love this picture of what happens at the tabernacle. Look at verses 12 through 14. Of 2 Chronicles 5. And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison, when the trumpeteers and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. When they praised God like that, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. It wasn't just the cloud, it was the presence of God. It says here that the glory of the Lord filled the house. The presence of God was so thick, they couldn't even stand up. Where did that come from? It was invited with praise and worship. I love to soak in the presence of God when I pray. This is how you start that process. I want to give you some examples. Write these down. You want to know how to praise? You're having a hard time getting praise going? Go to Psalm 111 and pray that psalm to the Lord. Praise the Lord with that song. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright in assembly. Great are the works of Yahweh. Or look at Psalm 113. Again, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Praise, O servants of Yahweh. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Or look at Revelation. The book of Revelation has a lot of good praise stuff. You read this stuff and it'll get you going. You use this, steal their words of praise, like Revelation 4:8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is, who and is to come. That's Revelation 4:8. But Revelation 5, verses 9, verses 12, verses 13, there's a lot of examples of praise. Use those to kickstart your praise, okay? Go back to 2 Chronicles, and let's look at chapter 20, because I want to show you another principle here about praise, why it's so important to praise. 2 Chronicles 20, we're going to start in verse 20, we're going to go through verse 25. They got up early in the morning, they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Listen to me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. They're praising God as they're going out before the army. And they began to sing and praise the Lord. And then the Lord set ambushes against their enemies and routed them, and they started fighting amongst one another and killing each other. And pretty soon, it says in verse 24, when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude of their enemies, and behold, it was all corpses laying on the ground. No one had escaped. It took them 3 days to get the booty and the spoils from that battle. God miraculously defeated Ammon and Moab because praisers went out in front of the army. You know what? This spiritual warfare that we're in right now, it is big, it is powerful, and it's deadly. And we can't fight it on our own. Actually, we human beings have no natural defenses against the devil. Our only hope is the authority of the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. So let's praise and worship God so that he'll go into battle before us and win the battle. I mean, the Lord knows we need him to win this battle. And don't just worship with your mind. Just like you don't want to just pray with your mind, you want to pray in the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit as well. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. In verses 14 and 15, Paul tells the Corinthians this, For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with my mind also, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with my mind also. There are many instances where somebody gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak in tongues, and somebody else around them recognizes the language they're speaking in. And I've known of several instances like this. I've been personally involved, and I can tell you that most of the time, what they hear the person saying in this new language is praise and worship. Your prayer language is a great way to praise and worship God. Sometimes it's good to sing in the Spirit, sing in tongues. Father, we just worship you. We glorify you. We praise you and give you all honor. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord in the Spirit. Okay, the last piece of bread on the sandwich was thanksgiving and praise, right? Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verses 4 and 6. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Which is what we're going to do when we pray. We're going to do it with rejoicing. And in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. The last piece of bread, thanksgiving, is vital. If you want your prayers to be answered, then you want your prayers to be presented with thanksgiving before the Lord. But listen, praying is not enough. Praying with thanksgiving is not enough. We also have to stay free of fear and anxiety. There in Philippians 4, it says, rejoice always. Yeah, in verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Don't come to the Lord with worry. Come to him with thanksgiving. And then it says in verse 9 that the peace which passes all understanding will be given to you. This is like what John talks about in John chapter 14. Actually, Jesus is talking here to his disciples, and he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. He says, I'm giving you a miraculous peace of mind. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let it be fearful. We need to continually invite the peace of Jesus that passes all understanding to flood our lives. Well, I know I've gone a little long this morning. In conclusion, it's time for the church to wake up from our slumber. I think that the Lord spoke in the Revelation. He spoke to the church of Sardis, Revelation 3. And he says to the angel of the church of Sardis, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know the hour that I'm going to come for you. We need to wake up, and we need to engage in the spiritual battle around us. We need to intercede against the coronavirus until it's completely gone. We need to fill our prayer times with praise and worship so that God's presence can be with us, so our prayers can be more effective, so that we can engage Him in the fight of our lives here. We need to intercede against rebellion. We'll talk about that next time. We need to raise our children to participate with us, and we'll talk about that next time too. So join us next time. We'll finish up this teaching, and the Lord says, wake up in Jesus' name. Amen.